Praise the Lord. Faith. So when Paul heard about their faith, he was excited. Faith. And the expression used in Colossians, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not used anywhere. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith. Many times, Paul uses, you know, the English translates it in different terms, but Colossians, that's the only place Paul says, faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith that is located in Christ. Amen. Our source is supernatural. In the book of Galatians, turn there, let's. Galatians chapter 2, where Paul speaks a little bit about faith also. But the expression for faith there is slightly different, but the meaning is still the same. You find that it's sometimes translated the faith of Jesus. Faith. Because faith is a supernatural force. Amen. Galatians 2, let me read from 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We are justified. We are made righteous. We are declared righteous. We are acceptable before God and begin to partake of his blessings by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not because you do something, but because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Something leaps from Jesus Christ into your spirit through the gospel. And God says, my son is in him. I accept him. All that belongs to my son, Jesus, belongs to him, belongs to her. Amen. So our acceptance before God is through this faith. Not by the works of the law. Amen. That's why Martin Luther, you know, fought against the Catholic Church when he had a revelation of justification by faith. He said, no. These icons that we venerate and so on, it's not going to help. Nothing. It is sola fide, the Latin term, only faith. Sola fide. The key is it's only faith alone. If you add anything to it, you've messed it up. Sola fide. And a revolution started. So in that case, the church life was saved. And God started a process of unveiling divine uncertainty again to humanity from the time of Martin Luther. He didn't reveal everything, but once a while, then there'll be a revelation of truth. There'll be, and people will always resist the truth as it comes. A revelation of truth. A revelation of truth. Amen. A revelation of truth. A revelation of truth. But when we have the basic understanding of what the gospel can do, we will not resist a lot of things. It's faith and faith alone. But by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. Knowing that, I read verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We have believed in Christ to be justified by the faith of Christ. We believe in him, but something must happen to us. We are made acceptable, we are made righteous, we are declared to be righteous by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could say in verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ Jesus, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In what way does Christ live in you? And the life that I now live, my Christian existence, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My Christian existence is by the faith of the Son of God. Christ lives in me. In chapter 3, verse 7, they that be of faith, this faith that we are talking about, are blessed with faithful Abraham. The supernatural force that reverses the curse that's been placed on humanity is destroyed because you have penetrated into faith. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory to God. Faith. So in Colossians, Paul is giving thanks because if somebody, Epaphras says, my God, they have faith and they have love for one another. So Paul gives thanks to God always for their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints. This faith is on account of the hope that is being laid up for them in heaven. On account of the hope, the faith and the love that springs from the hope that is being laid up for us. Whew. Hope. Hope is the expectation of something good. Amen. But here, Paul is not even looking at the subjective part, but he says there's a goal. There's a concrete expression of hope. There's something in heaven, and Paul calls it hope. Praise the Lord. The concrete expression of hope. What we hope for is unseen, is in the future. Many times in the scriptures, it is used of salvation, our hope for the final salvation, our hope for the resurrection, our hope for eternal life, our hope for the glory of God. This hope is related to Christ Jesus. So Paul would say, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hope. There is a concrete hope that believers have. This, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us understand this. Amen. In fact, the book of Peter mentions this in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection from the dead. We are going somewhere. A lively hope. Amen. Someone say a lively hope. Or as some versions will say, It's a living hope. Praise the Lord. It's a living hope. Praise be to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay. We have been born again into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, and solid and fading, reserved for you in heaven. We have been born again into this hope. We are already living. Our existence is in this hope. Born again into this hope. This hope is beyond the reach of decay. Amen. This is the key to our understanding of the divine certainty. Why do we say that? Because this hope reaches into the presence of God. It's in the heavens. Praise the Lord. It reaches into the presence of God. It has outmaneuvered the powers of darkness. It cannot be touched by human power. It cannot be touched by earthly decay. In this hope lies your destiny plans. Believers have been called. Remember Abraham? Abraham said, shall this Eliezer of Damascus be my heir? God said, well, not when I unveil to you my covenant. This Eliezer of Damascus shall not be your heir. There are things that we think with our natural mind. Oh, so am I going to continue like this? Is my marriage going to continue like this? What about my finances? But when God unveils this hope, he says, no, it stops right here. This Eliezer of Damascus is not going to be your heir. Because that was the law of the land. Praise the Lord. Something fresh, something new, something powerful, something abundant is going to happen to your life. We have been born again to an ever-living hope that is beyond the reach of decay. Praise the Lord. It is beyond the reach of decay. Hallelujah. And it is already prepared for us. It lies prepared for us, believers, in the heavens. It is this already prepared thing that denotes the certainty. Because believers are assured of everything in this hope. I'm not sure whether you heard. Everybody lift up your hands, because we are now entering into a region of revelation. Say, Lord, open my eyes, open my heart to see into this hope. I thank you for the hope that you have prepared for me. You have not prepared any defeats for me. You have not prepared failure for me. You have prepared victory. An overcoming life. Divine power. For me. So I thank you. In this hope, you have your resurrection body. In this hope, you have the new humanity. God wants to give you something of himself. My God, enable us to see. Count the stars if you can number them. It's beyond the earth realm. Count the stars. God wants to give us something of himself. His own righteousness. His own power. His own divine ability. That is why the scripture is saying, now the hope is the destination, but there are ramifications in the present. Faith becomes like shafts of light that draws from the hope. Amen. So faith is for the present. So in faith we walk and we have a destiny. We are going there. But faith allows us to enjoy the heavenly realities now. Amen. Lazarus shall arise. Oh, I know in the resurrection. I know in the resurrection. He shall arise. Jesus said. But I am the resurrection. I am that state. Resurrection is not an idea. Resurrection is a person. I am that realm. I am that dimension. Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Christ in us. Christ in you. Christ in me is the hope. Already we partake of that hope. Amen. So that God wants us to walk in this life predicated on that hope, not just waiting. It's so much, we can't get everything. Cannot be exhausted. But it has started. Faith. Faith. The promise that Abraham will be heir was not given through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Through the righteousness of faith. Through the righteousness of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when we begin to talk about the gospel, we begin to understand it as the content. Hope is the content of the gospel. Amen. And we'll see how Paul says that this hope that is laid up for you, and you heard about it through the gospel, is the good news. The gospel reveals the things that God has. It reveals and tells us about the resurrection life. It tells us that we have the mind of Christ. It tells us that our bodies can be healed.
It tells us that we have the victory again and again through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It's in heaven, so as we decree it, as it is released, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. For therein, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Oh, we shouldn't stay at one level. There are steps. We are at one level today. Why should we stay there? The righteousness of God is being revealed from faith. Gosh, go. My God, I need a new level. I need a new level. Amen. I need a new level. To faith. If it's not working at one level, all you need is a new level. Dr. John G. Lake, God used powerfully for miracles, signs, and wonders. He said, healing is by degree. The degree of faith and the degree of power. Amen. You know, we have your people who literally don't put any limits. Like, you know, pastors, they don't put any limits. Healing is by degree. What will happen? So they will see the result because it's there. It's by the degree. The Jeffrey brothers stood in the room. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord, that faith is coming. That power is coming. Stood in the room, and all that they said was, the master is here. And if you wouldn't have eyes, the eyes will pop. Will be there. Legs will grow if they were not there. The faith, the master is here. In rugby, people will call me and say, why don't you call people and pray for them and anoint them with oil? Or you pray for the sick, because the Bible says, pray for the sick, anointing them with oil. Yes, we do that sometimes, but we don't have to do that all the time. The glory of God has gone ahead and healed the cripple, healed all kinds of diseases without the touch of a human hand, is done. I mean, we can call them and seal their faith and anoint them, all that, but, you know, God has gone ahead to do it. Waves of the glory of God. God has something for you. It's powerful. Throw the limits off. And let's penetrate into that new dimension. Amen. There's a supernatural life. We pray that God should unveil it.